Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry. And by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till he comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Thanks so much for being with us today. I do have a great program lined up for you today. Bottom of hour number three, Michael Payton will be with us. He was, he's going to talk to us about the brainwashing and the cultic behavior that is associated with the radical woke left and what they do to indoctrinate. And we'll have his story and what he's learned and exposing that. Also, Shannon Perry is with us today. She's going to talk with us about parents and youth and what can parents do to navigate what is taking place and what's happening to their children. So we'll get into some conversation with her with regards to that. We also have an interview top of the next hour with Graham Walker, who is with the it's the Institute. Hang on a minute. Where do I have that? There we go. Independent Institute. And he is responding to the conversation I had actually about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, with Sam Staley, who wrote that he thought that Governor Ron DeSantis's battle with Disney was going to be his political undoing. And Graham takes a different perspective, as did I. So you'll hear his perspective with regards to that. And then Bill Courtney is with us, businessman, coach, Oscar-winning writer of Undefeated, which was a documentary about the high school football season that just ended up going viral. And he's going to talk about an army of normal folks, how our actions sometimes can speak even louder than our words. So we'll talk with him about that coming up next. All right, Rick Manning joins me now, president of Americans for Limited Government. Rick, welcome. Good to have you with me.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always fun every Monday. We get together and you know, I know one of the things that the viewers and listeners like to do is they like to kind of get a recap on, you spend so much time talking about everything else that's going on and all these other people, and I've got lots I want to talk about. But why don't we talk about You know, I understand that some progress has been made in India, and there's also some prayer to be that's needed in India regarding weather.
There absolutely is, and thank you for that, Rick. Yes, we actually Monday night here, which was Saturday morning there, we put in freshwater well number 42, and these wells are just absolutely life changing, folks. I know for us here in our country that it's somewhat difficult to imagine a situation where, you know, where you don't have fresh water. I mean, it's very unusual that somewhere in America you're not able to get a hold of clean water. But over there, clean water is a major issue, and it's a major health concern. And especially for these outlying villages and what they call the lower caste, getting fresh water is life-changing in a myriad of ways. And so we are very honored that we've been able to put in 42 of those freshwater wells. And you can help us if you'd like. It only costs $400 to put in a freshwater well. And those freshwater wells will serve anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000 people on a daily basis with fresh water, as they don't have to go 5 miles down the road. The women don't have to risk sexual assault when they go to get water, or risk being turned away by the rich farmer who says, "Nah, I don't think I'm going to give you any water today," and then be sexually assaulted on the way back on top of the fact of that not having water, or having to draw water from a dirty gutter pond or some other stagnant water source, knowing that there's a very strong possibility that the family's going to be ill. So we have that going on. Now, one of the other issues that's going on over there is severe flooding. There is massive flooding that is taking place right now in Punjab, India. As a matter of fact, when I was talking with the pastors on their way back Saturday morning from where we where we put the well in, they were talking, Rick, about, you know, reaching out. And then I followed up with them, and they made some stops along the way in an effort to try to help in whatever way they possibly could. But people's entire livelihoods, their homes, their villages are basically being washed away or put underwater. So the flooding situation over there is quite devastating, and so please keep them in your prayers. And if you would like to help us in helping them, again, you can go to chosengenerationradio.com, chosengenerationradio.com, and we will be assisting in the relief effort as those needs are brought to our attention, and we vet things and figure out the best way for us to help. And then we've got a big pastors meeting planned for this Thursday, provided that the current weather situation doesn't prevent them from coming.
So we have I hate to say normal, but normal threats of violence against Christians and the pastors. We have the intentional impoverishment of people who profess Christianity. We have both Hindu and Sikhs attacking Christian pastors. And now we've got weather. So this is a wholesale just test. And, you're in the middle of it. And that's and the people who are contributing, the people who pray about what's happening in India and pray for your ministries are in the middle of it. So it's a, and just because I'm not great on the geography of India, Punjab province, is it the southern part of the continent?
No, no.
Where is it at?
Punjab is the farthest northwest state in India. Okay. So it is actually on the border of Pakistan, who okay. also is experiencing the flooding issues that we're talking about as well. And the Christians there are experiencing their own level of persecution. But Punjab is in the farthest northwest, and so it borders Pakistan and then kind of a mountainous range that really kind of ties it to Afghanistan in a manner of speaking. On the northern border, that area kind of rounds around to Jammu and Kashmir, and we have ministers in Jammu and Kashmir as well, and that is on the Afghanistan border, and then that's pinned in by China and the Himalayas, and there is a cold warm conflict between India and China at that particular border. And we've got actually, and everybody talks about the Uyghurs, but we have Uyghur Muslims that come down into the villages and into the areas where our people are and rape our women and steal them and put them into slavery.
It's a, we live in a fallen world, and sometimes it's hard to tell the good guys from the bad guys. That's really, to a lot of years, a shocking thing, because the only exposure we've had to the Uyghurs has been as victims of Chinese oppression. And it's a, but you know, they're Muslim, and that is a, and so that's part of their culture. And so we're dealing with, and certainly accepted by the religion. So it is a, so, you know, you kind of see how, there's an old saying that stuff flows downhill. I won't say what stuff is, but I think we all know, stuff flows downhill. And unfortunately the Christians in, Punjab are downhill.
Yeah, well, and in Jammu and Kashmir as well, you know, it's you know, you've got the same issue in Punjab. It's predominantly Sikh, and then Hindu, and then Christian, some Muslim. In Jammu and Kashmir, your greater threat is Islam, because of Afghanistan, and then also because of the Uyghurs coming in from the east, and you know, and so. That they are absolutely, you know, in threat. Now, here's the thing. We are also seeing God's hand move. We are witnessing this past Thursday. We had another one of our outreaches that we have. And the outreach, this particular outreach, okay, so there we go. And let me bring this up. Sorry, folks. So on this particular outreach, we had some amazing testimonies that came forward. It was in a street outside. There was a Hindu temple and a Sikh temple where people heard my testimony and the sharing of God's word. 43 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Wow.
27 people were instantly healed. There were words of knowledge spoken, prophetic words that were spoken. There was a prophetic word that was spoken from a woman there to me, which was very powerful. So one brother who had fallen and was having trouble sitting was healed instantly. Another brother who had like a whiplash pain because he'd fallen off of a toilet or having something to do with falling in a toilet, he was healed. Two sisters were touched. Literally, they believe that God has opened their wombs. And I will say this, we have had that in one of our early meetings. There was a Hindu couple that was there, and I had shared my testimony about how God had brought me back from the dead on four different occasions because of the accident that I was involved in, Rick. And as I was leading them in the salvation prayer, in her mind, she said that she was saying to God, if you're the God that brought this pastor back to life four times, then surely you're the God that can put life in my womb. Mm-hmm. 5 days later, she called Pastor Samuel and she said, Pastor, I'm pregnant.
Wow.
And they had told her she was barren and she had tried. She was, you know, not, you know, young.
Right.
And she had not been able, they had not been able to have kids. So I have seen this little boy. He's going on 4 years old now. And you know, it's a glorious thing.
Samuel,
I don't know what his name is. I'll have to ask. Let's see. So another sister had eyesight trouble. She was healed and was able to remove her spectacles. Another sister was suffering from severe breast pain. God healed her instantly. A 14-year-old boy had had difficulty hearing in his left ear. God opened his ear. Another two sisters were having evil attacks that was causing severe head pain. God touched both of them and they were healed. Another brother said that he was hurt on his backbone and suffering from severe pain for 7 years, and it was instantaneously healed. And then many more were healed that reported healings of joint pains, head pains, and back pains. And, of course, all glory goes to our Heavenly Father God.
Yes, yes, it does. That's a, what a praise. The so, you know, it's we're going to talk, and Pastor Greg's going to spend almost this show talking about things that are happening here in America and some of the challenges we face. And, you know, the pain and suffering of people elsewhere around the world where it's much more primal need doesn't diminish the importance of what we do here domestically in America and the battle we have for freedom here in America. And the fact is, God blesses this country in so many ways. And one of the ways that we repay, we kind of pour that blessing back out, is by supporting ministries like the one Pastor Greg has in India, where people who otherwise would not know Jesus, would not have water, would not have freedom from suffering, are exposed to the living God, Jesus, the living God, and that is our the value that so that's one of America's roles in the world is. To go and make disciples, certainly, but also to, each of us play our role. And the fact we live in the greatest country in the world that allows us to prosper, allows us and gets out of the way so we can prosper. Taking that money and using it productively around the world is important.
Amen. And I appreciate that. I wanted to shift gears to what you were saying and point out this is a video. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but this is a Chinese American woman on a subway train. I think it's in New York. David Harris has this shared on his Instagram. But there are folks you're gonna see these. These are up at the top in the train car, okay, on the top, and they're pictures of women tonguing one another. Then the rainbow colors, and it says pansexual. And these are the poster board things at the top of the trains on either side. And so this is the response. This is a Chinese American woman, and listen to what she is saying.
This is propaganda.
Yeah.
This is
normalizing.
It's affecting the next
generation.
She's tearing the strips off. She's literally ripping the posters down. and others on the train begin to join her in tearing it down. And they're like, this is propaganda. This is to divide and conquer us. They're trying to divide and conquer us. The government is against us, and you guys aren't seeing it. If I take a bath, this is going to go away. It's never going to come back. So we, the people, say we don't want this anymore.
That's what I'm talking about. Evil flourishes when good men and women do nothing. Do something today.
Okay. It just so touched me to see this lady be like, you know what? No more.
You know, we're seeing it, and you're going to talk about this with a guest later on, but I think it's the most significant thing that's happening in the country right now is, you know, we had Riley Gaines, a swimmer from University of Kentucky, stand up and say no when she was denied a fifth place, her place on the podium at NCAA championship and her trophy because a man was swimming in the women's meets and tied with her. And they said, sorry, Riley, there's no room for you on the podium because the person you tied with is more important than you because he's a man. Okay. That's when she stood up and started to saying no. That was, you know, it made it okay to say no. And a lot of other people were doing that, but I think there's a kind of a popular tipping point, and she kind of played that popular tipping point role. We have, you know, there's a reason why Jason Aldean's song is the number one downloaded song in America. It's not because it's being pushed by the producers. It's not because it's being pushed by people. It's by the business people. It's because it's a good song, first of all. It has to be quality entertainment. So it's a good song. But it's also, it's a message. It's a feeling that resonates, you know, almost like Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. Mm-hmm. And so it's a song that's an anthem. It's an anthem song for people who've had enough of this garbage. You know, we see the movie that against the child trafficking that is, you know, topped $100 million this weekend in total receipts. And, you know, and when you go, a couple of days ago, I was sitting there in a restaurant, and the people behind me, it's an IHOP of all places, people behind me were talking about this movie and how they need to go see it. And it was like, and it's almost subversive to like the Jason Aldean song. It's subversive to go see, gosh, what's the name of the movie, Pastor Greg?
Sounds of Freedom.
Sounds of Freedom.
Yep.
You know, President Trump saw the movie this past week. One of my best friends was sitting, you had Trump, Caviezel, and one of my best friends is sitting there. Who has been pushing the movie. He's been using his skills to get the movie basically in a subversive way across the country when the big studios didn't want to touch it. So there's something going on. There's something going on. There's a wave going on. It's now safe to say no. And what you saw on that subway video, is people saying, no, I'm not allowing this to occur anymore. I'm not allowing my children to see it. You've crossed the line, and we're no longer going to stand for it. And that is revolutionary, small r. And it is people taking control of their own lives, of their own schools, of their own libraries. And that is something that matters.
Well, there's a video, another actor who has been engaged in this process for some time that is not getting very much publicity about it. But he's really not looking for it. His organization is called Tom. I believe it's called Tom. Hang on. No, I guess it's called Thorn. Digital Defense of Children. And it's Ashton Kutcher. And let me just play you. This was his testimony before Congress. Let me see if I can get the. There we go.
Victims in New York and New Jersey and all across our country. I've been on FBI raids where I've seen things that no person should ever see. I've seen video content of a child that's the same age as mine being raped by an American man that was a sex tourist in Cambodia. And this child was so conditioned by her environment that she thought she was engaging in play. I've been on the other end of a phone call from my team asking for my help because we had received a call from the Department of Homeland Security telling us that a 7-year-old girl was being sexually abused and that content was being spread around the dark web. And she had been being abused and they'd watched her for 3 years and they could not find the perpetrator. Asking us for help. We were the last line of defense. An actor and his foundation were the potential last line of defense. That's my day job, and I'm sticking to it.
Wow. You know, his story is interesting. We all think of him as being the goofball from that 70s show, and he kind of plays this, he plays a role.
Mm-hmm.
And Hollywood wants to keep him in that role. And when he tries to break out playing Steve Jobs or something like that, he tends to get slammed back down to the kind of the role that he's got, he's supposed to stay in. But he's a guy who was studying to be an engineer. He was in college studying to be an engineer, and he got approached by somebody asking him to do a modeling gig. And while he always dreamed of being an actor, he actually has the mental wherewithal, the intellectual wherewithal to do the rigors of an engineering program at a university. And so, you know, he's no dummy. He's not one of these guys who you just sit there and they hit their marks, say their lines. There's some brains behind that goofball kind of actor that we think we know. And so it's impressive. That's his day job. That's impressive. Well, his wife, of course,
Mila.
Mila Kunis was a refugee out of, was it Russia or was it Ukraine? It was Russia, I believe. And yeah. Still speaks Russian. And it's a, and so she's, you know, they both have a lot of substance to them. And it's, mm-hmm. it's good to see that.
Well, it's also should be noted that, you know, the Jobs movie that you're talking about, that was 10 years ago.
Right.
That was 2013. And something to understand, you don't see Ashton Kutcher in films now.
Right.
And part of the reason you don't is, you know, I mean, he said he's committed to this. This is his day job. But it's also because Hollywood isn't going to put somebody who's calling out. And I saw, my gosh, I don't know if you are familiar with, there is a movie called Monsters, Inc. It's a cartoon film. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with it, with that?
There's a couple. There's the Monsters Ball, which was Halle Berry, but the Monsters, Inc. is a cartoon one, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, but Monsters, Inc. is essentially about monsters in a closet coming out, scaring the children, and them capturing that fear, the gas of that fear, and that's what powers their community, and that they would steal children and then scare them and put a mask over them. And as they would scream, you would see in the movie, you'd see the meter go up or you'd see their tanks get filled from this child's terror. That is exactly what is described in adrenochrome. That is 100% exactly what is described in adrenochrome. That they terrorize the child, which releases a certain chemical into the blood, and then they withdraw the blood of that child and then shoot that blood. Now, Jim Caviezel has come out and said he is now, because of being involved in this project, borne witness that that's a reality.
Yeah. Listen, we have... evil has always existed. We know that. We have shielded ourselves from evil because it's just, in some respects, it's just unbelievable that this, you know, that this could be a thing. But this isn't it shouldn't be a shock. I mean, a baseball player named Adam LaRoche quit, you know, during the fall, took another ball player, and they went overseas and rescued children from these exact environments and started a rescue foundation. And that's what he quit playing baseball to do. And so it's a, you know, he basically walked away from a $14 million a year salary to go rescue children. So this is it's been creeping into the public domain for the last, you know, 8 to 10 years.
What?
But I think what's happening, this is the main point I want to get to.
Yeah.
Evil's face has been exposed. And they've exposed themselves because they thought they had won. They thought they had gotten themselves to a position where there was nothing that could be done about it. And as a result, they do the things like having the transsexual and, you know, anti-Catholic nuns at Dodger Stadium and things like that, and being recognized for their courage. And the more they get exposed for who they are, the less people are tolerating it. And so they didn't get far enough along the cycle of indoctrination to make it so there isn't a massive pushback. And I think that's what we're experiencing right now.
Well, I think the other piece to this is that, and I made a note of this as we were getting ready to start today, Rick. I think the other part of this is it is a clear evidence of what makes the United States of America unique. Okay? Because irrespective of how hard they have fought to drive God out, to drive morality out, to capture generations and all of that, there is in the seed, in the soil, in the very essence of who this country is the presence of the living God.
100%, 100% true.
And you know, you talk about this evil. Look, I was exposed and can testify firsthand of having been exposed to someone who said they were a breeder. A breeder is someone who is impregnated to have babies for sacrifice. I was exposed to someone who traveled the country picking up babies and delivering them for sacrifice. I helped pray for someone, pray them through deliverance. who her and her brother were being held for sacrifice. And someone, she was like 3-4 years old. And maybe even a little younger, but about 3, I believe. And someone there rescued her and put her in, put them in the back of the car and drove them away and dropped them off.
And let's be clear. We're not talking about this occurring in India or Cambodia or
no.
in some faraway land.
No.
This is happening. This was happening here in the good old US of A, correct?
It was right here in the United States of America. And in case somebody said, well, what did you do? Well, we referred the situation to the appropriate people. The woman that I prayed for, when I prayed for her, it had been 40 years since that had happened. But let's stop and think about that for a moment.
Well, that's the thing. 40 years, that means this is the 70s, 70s, 80s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
When Ira Levin wrote Rosemary's Baby, we were talking, this was fiction in the 60s. Maybe it was written in the 50s. I think Ira Levin wrote it in the 50s. Got made into a movie with Mia Farrow in the late 60s, early 70s. Where somebody was bred to have, against her will, but always ends up having, devil's child. And it was a fictional fiction. But you're saying at the same time that was occurring, we had people who were breeding, literally having children specifically so they could be sacrificed.
Yes, sir. And it still goes on. It still goes on. This wasn't a one-off.
And for everybody who's appalled by this, I just want to remind you, we had the governor of Virginia who was on tape talking about how he would handle, as an obstetrician, how he would handle it if a woman had a child who was handicapped and, the child was born. And how he would leave the umbilical cord uncut, and they'd have a decision. He talked to the mother right then about whether to execute the child or not. This was the governor of Virginia,
not the current governor, by the way. Let's be clear, not Glenn Youngkin, the one that he ran against.
The one he replaced.
Right.
In Virginia, you can only have one term. A guy named Ralph Northam.
Mm-hmm.
And Ralph Northam, that tape was out there. Do you know what didn't happen? He wasn't forced from office. He was not forced from office.
Yeah.
And I've got to get going because I've got another thing. But I just, on that particular point, and this circles it back to politics, and this is not an endorsement of any candidate, but I was blessed to be in the Roosevelt Room of the White House when that tape came out. And I was blessed to be there on something completely different, that when Donald Trump came into the room, because he was scheduled to be in the room, he had just heard it. And I heard his live extemporaneous 20 minutes of disgust at what was happening to our country on this issue.
Yeah.
And it was And Mike Pence was there. There were the whole gang was there,
mm-hmm.
And it was a small room, about 30 of us. And I will tell you, just for anybody who wants to know, and this is once again not an endorsement; it's just firsthand experience. There is nobody more pro-life than Donald Trump. Okay, I mean because the difference between Donald Trump and all the DC people. The DC people have learned how to talk about it. And Donald Trump just talks about the way Donald Trump talks about things. And it's much more honest. It's much more raw. Mm-hmm. And I heard him raw just go off on it and how disgusting it was. And it was the most powerful statement that I heard. And that statement, and yet the governor of Virginia survived. He did not get thrown out of office.
Yeah.
So understand, when we sit there, we express disgust at breeding babies for sacrifice. That's horrific.
Yeah.
But we had a governor who actively on tape talked about killing a baby, and you could justify it because the umbilical cord was still attached, and so the baby was technically still dependent upon the mom. And that was his, it was a, that's the kind of horror that exists and is accepted. And until we wake people up and say, and I think people are waking up, to reject this horror.
Yep.
And understand it really exists. And so these things that Pastor Greg's talking about aren't for shock value per se. There's some people know that this exists, that evil exists in the world. And evil, like we read about in the Old Testament, exists in the world. Because nothing is new.
Yep.
And that is, and so as you learn about this, it's a, the question becomes, what are you going to do about it? And, that's the question each of us have to ask every day. For that, I've got to leave a little bit early, so I
apologize. You're fine. For that. No, I'm going to just to the point you made about people, you know, waking up. Here again is another video that was shared. This one by Town Hall, and we'll let this play as you have to step away. And I thank you, Rick, for being with us this morning. But here's another person, again, just saying, hey,
yeah. We're perfectly safe. See, Loudoun County, Virginia, a trans student was allowed into the women's bathroom where he assaulted a girl. They moved him to another school where he did it again. See, Irvine, California, last month, where a trans student entered the women's locker room and flashed the girls there. When they confronted him, he mercilessly beat them. This happened again in Gwinnett County, Georgia. This happened again in Oklahoma City. This happened again in Ohio, where a trans man was allowed to use the locker room where he was arrested for flashing little girls. The judge dropped the charges after he ruled that this man was too fat for them to see anything. In this city, a man using they/them pronouns hunted down and killed a female jogger because he, quote, wanted to look just like her. You will no longer be able to look into the eyes of your constituents and honestly say that you are unaware of the assaults that inevitably take place when we declare to women, you have no right to privacy. You.
And there you go. All right, folks, I'm going to take a break. I'll be back. More Chosen Generation Radio straight ahead.
it turns out the minority communities in the United States are not nearly into the deballing of their males and the sterilization of their females as apparently white Americans are. So this broke out into the open over the course of the last 48 hours when in Glendale, the school board in Glendale decided that they were going to allow for the gender indoctrination of small school kids. And Glendale, which is heavily Armenian and heavily traditional in terms of its values, rebelled. They rebelled for a reason. Here's a Glendale school teacher explaining the kids know they are trans when they are three.
Why critical race theory? I'm not just here in support of our LGBTQ youth. It's all connected. I'm in support of critical race theory and diversity, inclusion, equity training, because white people participate, for example, in the largest social welfare program in the history of the United States, and yet now they throw their hands up in the air when we look at our housing crisis. And Armenians talk about the genocide, but they received SSI, but they don't want to talk about the indigenous genocide of 1850 and the lack of preparations for black and indigenous people in this country. And they don't want to talk about how dare you as marginalized people come here and you don't want to talk about the oppressed trans youth who, you know, your kids aren't even learning what they need to learn in this, that one in two will commit attempt suicide and 95% know that they are trans when they are 3 to 4 and 5 years old.
Small kids know at 3, 4, and 5 years old that they are trans, according to this teacher. This all follows the Glendale Unified School District Superintendent, Dr. Vivian Ekian, recommending that the Board of Education adopt a resolution to designate June 2023 as LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign Pride Month. Armenians were not happy about it, but it's not just Armenians who are being targeted. The targeting of minority communities
Okay, I'm going to address the board's comments last board meeting after public comment. The parents told that she wouldn't get pregnant if she engaged in sodomy.
Wow.
Okay. Come on!
That's
a 57.
Yep.
Okay.
That's
a minor.
You're
horrible.
That's minor.
Grooming.
Pedophiles.
She asked for a meeting with Dr. Akishian.
And as for showing us that a seat, the records would be hidden from parents. That is telling children.
Now, they're telling this parent of this 12-year-old, her 12-year-old daughter. She's testifying about what they told her child, okay? And she's complaining to the school board, and in the background you can hear the audience saying, this is indoctrination, this is horrific, this is terrible, I can't believe they're doing this, this is absolutely just atrocious. But then you can also hear the board, okay? And the board is saying to her, you need to sit down. You need to be quiet. You need to stop talking. That's what you just heard.
To lie, okay? We cannot expect good morality from our students if they're being told to lie. Okay,
Ms. We can hear her. Don't.
Again, they said, told her, please have a seat. Please have a seat. We don't want to hear from you. Please have a seat. We don't want it exposed that we are indoctrinating children and telling children that they should have anal sex as a means to control childbirth. It's jaw dropping. And so now, if you're watching, what you'll see is you'll see some man.
Can you move? We're listening to her talk.
Take the microphone from her and stand there. And now he's going to try to physically remove her from the podium. Okay.
To ignore the parents.
Can you
please do not gaslight the parents that we do not know what's going on? If we do not know what is going on, it is because of your lack of transparency when parents ask what kind of curriculum is being taught, and you guys act like it's all hunky dory and everything is perfect.
This is the Glendale Unified School District, Glendale Unified School District. And there was a big, big deal, by the way, that happened with the Glendale Unified School District. This is Ben Shapiro talking about it.
Fascinating byproduct of what's happening here, because it turns out the minority communities in the United States are not nearly into the deballing of their males and the sterilization of their females as apparently white Americans are. So this broke out into the open over the course of the last 48 hours when in Glendale, the school board in Glendale decided that they were going to allow for the gender indoctrination of small school kids. And Glendale, which is heavily Armenian and heavily traditional in terms of its values, rebelled. They rebelled for a reason. Here's a Glendale school teacher explaining the kids know they are trans when they are three.
A lot of critical race theory. I'm not just here in support of our LGBTQ youth. It's all connected. I'm in support of critical race theory and diversity, inclusion, equity training, because white people participated, for example, in the largest social welfare program in the history of the United States, and yet now they put their hands up in the air when we look at our housing crisis. And Armenians talk about the genocide, but they received SSI, but they don't want to talk about the indigenous genocide of 1850 and the lack of preparations for black and indigenous people in this country. And they don't want to talk about how dare you as marginalized people come here and you don't want to talk about the oppressed trans youth who, you know, your kids aren't even learning what they need to learn in this, that one in two will commit attempt suicide and 95% know that they are trans when they are 3, 4, and 5 years old.
Small
95% know that they are trans when they are 3.
Kids know at 3, 4, and 5 years old that they are trans, according to this teacher. This all follows the Glendale Unified School District Superintendent Dr. Vivian Ekian recommending that the Board of Education adopt a resolution to designate June 2023 as LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign Pride Month. Armenians were not happy about it, but it's not just Armenians who are being targeted. The targeting of minority communities is a fascinating byproduct of what's happening here, because it turns out the minority communities in the United States are not nearly into the deballing of their males and the sterilization of their females as apparently white Americans are. So this broke out into the open over the course of the last 48 hours when in Glendale, the school board in Glendale decided that they were going to allow for the gender indoctrination of.
All right. So there, you know, there you continue to have it. I mean, it can, this just, it goes on and on and on. And that's why in our next segment coming up, Graham Walker of the Independent Institute joins me to talk about this indoctrination issue and whether or not the governor representing the people of the state, whether or not the people of the state should have the right to be able to decide what's going to happen to their kids as a matter of policy. And we'll get into that coming up here. Stay tuned. More Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this. I think you will find this interview to be quite interesting and quite enlightening. So we're going to jump into that here in just a couple of seconds.